You're listening to a podcast from thisisTheShow.co.uk.
The show, how the good birds go, oh yeah.
Welcome to This Is The Show. I'm Andrew Moyer. This week we are joined by a band formed in Edinburgh in 2007, but with the sound of pure Americana. Their new album is Long Haul, already receiving rave review. One of the best albums of the year so far, said American Roots. I am joined today by the Wintown Marshals. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
If you'd just like to all introduce yourselves and say what you do in the band.
I'm Richie Noble. I play a variety of keyboards.
I'm Ian Sloan. I play guitar and pedal steel.
I'm Keith Benzie. I sing and play guitar.
And I'm Kerry McCabe. I play drums.
Okay, well, just tell us a little bit about this new album.
The Long Haul is a record a long time in the making, really. I mean, how long, Sloane, from 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
Yeah, so the actual recording of it took about 3 months, so relatively short time to record the record, but yeah, a long time in the conception, shall we say, the songwriting, the editing, and various lineup changes along the way probably were the main thing that led to it taking such a long time to make. So.
And it's a follow-up to Westerner. Would you say that the lineup changes have encouraged a change in your sound since then?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've lost a drummer, two guitar players, a bass player since we recorded Westerner, so the album is going to sound different straight away because there's only really two-fifths of the band that recorded that left.
Would you say that the reviews that have been coming in have said something different about the reviews that Westerner got?
One or two reviews have picked up on the fact that it's considerably more pop orientated than the last one, but there's definitely still a thread. I think most of the reviewers still know that it's the same band.
I don't think there was a conscious thing amongst the band to make a different record. It wasn't like, well, Westerner, let's park that and leave that behind or anything, but the songs that I was kind of coming up with the basic ideas for, and then Sloane and I were kind of working, it was up a little as a duo, just started to take that kind of more sort of a poppier feel to them, some of them anyway. I mean, don't get me wrong, on the record there's still slices of pretty pure Americana as well, because that's the kind of music that you know, certainly I've been into for such a long time, so...
But also, our bass player Murdo has also written two songs this time around as well, so that's brought a different flavour altogether. Murdo's influences are probably a little bit less country rock and Americana than Keith and I was saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it might be one of the, I mean, not that I know much about the band's history, but it might be one of the first albums that maybe accurately reflects each person's individual influences as opposed to one single genre. But it's all kind of glued together quite nicely.
I think this time round the songwriting approach or the collaboration was much more pronounced. The on Westerner, I pretty much had finished songs that I'd written the words and the melodies for and had a pretty clear structure in my head. Okay, they changed slightly when they came brought them to the full band, but this time round, very much I pretty much just came along with a fairly basic idea, most of the lyrics. And then the band as a whole built the songs. And in the case of the songs that Murdo wrote, well, that was, as Sloane said, a completely different songwriter bringing his approach to the thing as well. So,
and was there ever a temptation, given that a majority of the band had gone, to disband the Wintown Marshals, or did you think it had a good core there that could survive?
I don't think it was ever... We never even had that discussion.
No.
It was never a conversation it was had, because the band that recorded Westerner, Murdo joined the band after Westerner. So really, although he wasn't on the album, Murdo really feels he's been part of things since 2013. So really, although I say only two of us that recorded Westerner were still in the band this time, and really, three of us have been in the band for 3 years. So that's just, the Jayhawks lost, you know, Mark Olson left the Jayhawks, but they continued to be the Jayhawks because it was effectively the same band. In essence, what happened to us post the Westerner tour was that our drummer left, and throughout the recording process, we parted company with the guitar player. So we're still the same band. I don't think there was never a conversation that was happening.
No.
Now, we're doing this interview in the Blind Poet, a great rehearsal space, but you also took a DIY approach to this album and recorded in here as well.
Yeah, Kerry recorded the drums up at our producer's rehearsal space, but apart from that, everything else was recorded in this very room.
I think we're really lucky. A friend, Andrew Taylor, that we've all worked with and been friends with for a while, Andrew works with incredibly limited equipment in terms of what's available technologically these days. He basically uses a photo studio approximately the size of a laptop, but I mean, we're probably talking, it was cutting edge technology, maybe mid-90s, I mean, really a small digital photo studio. But Andrew's got a brilliant ear and has a fantastic grasp of how to get good sounds out of the drums with the mics he's got. He's incredibly musical, and it was quite an easy process, wasn't it?
We were working with a musician recording the band rather than working with an engineer trying to get his sound up across. You know, he wanted us to sound like us rather than his version of us, and I think that's really the album sounds the way we want to sound it rather than his idea. You know,
certainly from my point of view on guitar. The guitar player that played on Western, Ian Barber. Ian's a fantastic guitar player, but he's country through and through, and his old B-bender licks, and he's just fantastic at what he does. But this time round, Andrew knew that that's not my natural style, so he kind of encouraged very much just my style of playing to come out. So that, for me, that's the big change from Western, is the guitar playing's a lot less country. I don't think the songs are radically different. I think that sitting on top is... Maybe you guys can answer that better than
I think
can.
The keys are more pronounced on the record. Yeah. Andrew actually produced the record, played the keys on the record, which Richie's now doing a fantastic job, obviously, of replicating and working on. So the vocals, I was really pleased with the way those were recorded. It was all fairly straightforward. But yeah, the keys are more prominent on this record, and the recording process was quite radically different to Westerner, but... We feel, I know when bands always say that the record they're currently promoting is always their best one, but we genuinely feel that this was certainly an easier process and a more peaceful process. I don't know if that's one way of putting
it. It's always terrible when you come away from recording an album or even a demo and it's not been an easy process, because it taints your listening to the product after that. But you know, we've been lucky enough to have enjoyable for most of it, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there were a couple of occasions that maybe weren't quite so enjoyable.
Cheers,
but by and large, it was a really good process. And don't get me wrong, Westerner's something we're massively proud of. It was just a much tougher record to make, just the way we set about making it.
And are there any limitations to recording it yourself? Are there anything that you would have liked to have done that you weren't able to do on this record?
There's certainly technological limitations, obviously, the equipment we used to record it. But as we said before, because it was a musician recording us, I think it's the limitations are the only limitations you put into yourself. So I mean, we've certainly been able to add on strings, lots of keyboards, lots of percussion, lots and lots and lots of backing vocals. That certainly, if he'd said to us before, this is how we're going to record the album, we might have said, "Oh, is that going to be possible to put it all on?" But we've certainly managed it. You know?
I think we have. I think we had some fairly widescreen, kind of quite grand designs on for a few of the songs. This is what we envisage: strings on certain songs, as Kenny says, and poppier backing vocals and a big production sound on certain songs. But I think everything we set out to make, everything we envisaged, we've managed to get down on the record. So we're all really pleased about that.
The way we recorded Westerner was, it might not sound like this to the outsider, but it was actually quite a mechanical process. It wasn't a particularly warm human kind of feel when we made it, because a lot of it was... You know, the performances were all there, but there's quite a lot of editing went on, because we did it in Pro Tools and all the songs were clip tracked. This time around, Andrew, his essence was really, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to pull a performance out of everyone. So what you hear is, by and large, I mean, the facilities he has, you can't really do cut and paste and chopping guitar parts up. You have the opportunity to get your guitar part right. And for me, it was quite relaxing, because you went into an improvise quite a lot of it, or in some cases you orchestrated your parts and wrote solos more than just having a, you knew you had to get it right. And it, it for me, it feels much more human than the last album did. It's much more warm.
And would you say that that then is a better reflection of how you play the tracks live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much.
Definitely.
The live sounds kind of different now, because what we're trying to do now is replicate the band at the Winter Marshals 2014, which we're managing to do. Sloane's had to take a bit of a step back and play less pedal steel and things like that, because he's now the main six-string guitarist for the band. But there's the space that that frees up gives Richie the room to do stuff on keyboards, and I think we're getting closer to this idea I've always had in my head of what I'd like the Marshals to sound like live and on record. And I don't think there's any one particular band where I've said, oh, I want us to sound like the Cardinals or the Eagles or anyone like that. But you know, I'm really, really happy with where we're at right now and what we're sounding like, both live and on records.
When we had quite, it might not appear again with the mix, but we had quite a lot of keyboards on some of the songs on Western, and we had a good friend Ali Peachy played that, and we only really got to do one gig with Ali on keys. We did our album launch, and for me, we started to miss them on songs like Thunder in the Valley, and now Richie's got the piano and the organ parts back there that you know, there are a lot of things that plug the gaps that pedal steel might have been there. We've now got Richie's got some really nice piano parts on some of the songs, and so yeah, it's nice.
Now, I'm sure you don't want to pick out any favourite tracks in particular, but Canada is really sort of catchy pop riff and stuff like that. Drive is a really great opening track, I thought. Sort of just instantly you know where you are. Are there any highlights for you now that's in the can?
I think the one for me that's, you know, that has been in a few of the early reviews that people have commented on lyrically is Curtain Call, which is one that I'm really proud of. Something, an idea that I came up with, this story of this Victorian magician looking back on his life and a doomed Victorian magician. It's not your typical Americana subject matter, but something that I think I'd seen the film The Prestige and got really into that whole kind of era and wanted to write a song about that. So Sloane and I, when we then worked those lyrics up into this kind of quite quiet and quite intense and intimate acoustic song, we had this vision of then eventually when it got on record maybe having touches of piano in there and then the string section coming in, and to be able to kind of realise that vision, which started probably 3 or 4 years ago, and to have it. So that's probably the one I'm probably most proud of on the record in terms of capturing that vision. But all of it, I'm really happy with.
I think you've picked out really well as well, Andrew, that the Driveway, we specifically wanted Driveway's opening track because a statement of intent was a phrase that a few of us used. Because straight away it's the guitar, the voice, and then everything that is really driving introduces people to the new rhythm section that, you know, from Western. It was a clear decision to make that opening track.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for me, Low Country Come Down is one of the, I think that is probably almost like a kind of definitive Marshall song to people. It's got the pedal steel, it's got the guitars, it's got the brilliant storytelling, it's got some nice harmonies, it's got some nice keys.
It probably
encompasses almost everything that we're about, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I mentioned Canada there before. Is that a place that's close to your heart?
I wrote Canada. Some of the lyrics are inspired by a trip I took to Canada in 2010, I think it was, to stay with friends, but it's not necessarily about Canada. But you know, there's lyrical references to the halls of the museum, and I visited the Canadian War Museum in Ottawa when I was over there. But it's more about the imagery, and Canada is more of a song about finding a place. Canada is just the name for it, as it were. It's a destination, but it's a place, and it's about family and belonging and nostalgia. And yeah, I'm starting to sound a little bit pretentious now, so I'll shut up.
So you've played around Europe a lot, in the Netherlands and in Germany. Is there any particular place that you feel was really a home to the Wintown Marshals, where you're really well received?
I think Holland, definitely. Our Low Country Come Down on the new record, the song that Ian mentioned, is a bit of a love letter to those trips to the continent, in particular to Holland. The bar rooms that I talk about and the whiskey that we drank were from a very enjoyable but yeah, quite painful the next day evening we had in Holland on one of our first tours there. and that whole thing about, you know, being loving, being out there, but missing your family when you're back, you know, you it's great to see your family, but you miss being out there again. That's what that song's all about. So the Dutch people and Germans absolutely as well have been fantastically kind to the band since we started going out there. Very generous, very welcoming, always look after you, and the crowds are very appreciative as well and very enthusiastic. Yeah. It's weird, you know, you'll play in a small venue on Wednesday night or a Thursday night out in Germany, but the place will be packed on a night when, you know, in Edinburgh you might struggle to get 10 or 15 people to come and see you, you know.
Struggle to get the band,
and you get a decent, you get paid well for it, you get fed, you get suitably lubricated, I mean alcoholically. and they'll generally put you up in a nice hotel as well, so it's a great country. The you know, Northern Europe has been very kind to the band.
Do you think there's a reason for that the British music scene can't quite organise itself in a way that is welcoming to bands? It seems to be quite a hard slog to get anyone to come out to see people here.
I think we've made the mistake in a few interviews of kind of almost rubbishing the UK scene.
Yeah,
it's a bit unfair because there are pockets.
There are great promoters here.
There are pockets of the UK where that's Murdo coming. Hello, Murdo.
Hey, ladies.
There are pockets in the music scene in the UK which are fantastic. We've got some great promoters in Edinburgh and Glasgow who've looked after us lots. There's a promoter in Cardiff who's a big fan of the band. So we don't want to be down on the UK, but generally in Holland and Germany, we're just consistently treated much more nicely. And the people, I think, are a bit more open-minded. I think the UK is still
helps,
a bit tribal, isn't it?
It helps that the type of music we play is really popular over there as well. I mean, Americana has been huge in the UK as well since the early 90s. But and obviously well before that as well, but this alternative country, you know, insurgent country, new Americana, whatever you want to call it, has been big for 20 years or so. But it's much, much more popular in the continent, and bands in that genre can still really kind of hit international magazines or national magazines and national radio airplay and all that kind of stuff as well.
Daytime radio in Holland and Germany, when we drive up and down, then you've occasionally got the radio on, you hear things on the daytime radio there that you just wouldn't hear in the UK. You know, we've got Radio 1, which is aimed at, you know, the demographics, much, it's pretty clear it's 60 to 25 year olds. Radio 2 is the 30 to 45 year olds. In Holland and Germany, they just play songs. It's much more, that's my view, but I'd say people are much more open minded. Over here, it's about haircuts and jeans. If your jeans are skinny, you've got on the radio station. If your haircuts are right, will you get on certain stations? Maybe a little bit unfair, but I just feel Holland's been.
There's nothing wrong with your haircut or jeans.
Thank you very much.
Not skinny enough.
No. Thank you.
So obviously, with a new record, that means getting it out to more of an audience. Have you got much of a tour planned for this record?
Well, we no. Not really. We will be going back over to Northern Europe in springtime next year. My wife's expecting a baby at the moment, so there will be another Benzie member of the family joining us in early September. So that, to some extent, kiboshes any plans to tour in the autumn. But, you know, we are launching the album properly in Edinburgh and Glasgow in July. And then we're in Glasgow on the 12th of July at Broadcast on Sockey Hall Street, and then in Edinburgh at the Voodoo Rooms on the 13th of July. Ably supported by Monica Queen and Johnny Smiley from Thrum on both nights, which is going to be a great show. Beyond that, we're looking to pick up more support gigs and potentially some other shows around the central belt of Scotland. Yeah. And then we're up in the northeast of Scotland at the end of July as well, up in Aberdeen and a little place called Dinnet near where I grew up. Then, as I say, the plans will be to take the show on the road to Europe in the early part of next year.
And also we will do, so I'm sure we'll do something else at the end of the year as well, because Keith's life will return to some semblance of normality at some point before Christmas,
yep.
I'm sure.
So there have been some reviews out for the record. Is that something that matters to you? Is it something you go back and read, or are you just doing it for the pure love of the music?
For the kids.
I think a bit of both. Of course you read reviews. I don't believe anyone who says that they don't. But I don't tend to go back and reread them if that's anything. I'll read it once.
See, I do. I'm quite enjoying the fact that we're getting a lot of good press at the moment, and it's you know, for a newcomer into the band and seeing the hard work that everyone's put into it, seeing the hard work that I have to put into to put up with these guys, you know, it's quite nice when you kind of see someone recognise the effort, the talent, you know, whatever you put into that. I think, you know what, you guys have put a bloody good record. And that's, you know, that's really refreshing to hear.
I think there was one thing about it was I think I can speak for all of us when I say when we finished it, when we heard the mastered version of it, certainly for myself, but I'm pretty sure for all of us, we were pretty confident that we'd made a really good record. I think it's a really good record. I would have gone out to buy it. I can't say that probably of anything I've ever been involved in before, despite having been proud of it, but I think we knew it was, and I think if we'd started getting bad reviews, we'd have thought that the whole world was out of step with us rather than the other way around.
There's a confidence rather than an arrogance about it. As Murdoch said, we knew we'd finished it. We thought this is a step on. I mean, some of the reviews, like the Western or Americana, sound more than the. I don't think we've made a huge change of direction, but you know, we sort of said that we knew there would be a few reviews that might split people because we haven't made an album full of country guitar. We've made an album full of songs, and we've played guitar and bass and drums and keyboard parts around what the songs needed. And there are those kind of little Beatles flourishes, and the middle eights are probably a little bit more elaborate than we had in the past. So we knew that we'd done something a little bit different, but you know, we're still effectively the same band. There's nothing hugely different.
Yeah.
But yeah, and subject to the views, I like to read them.
Yeah. You know,
call me shallow, but we've put a lot of work in effort.
Definitely shallow.
And it's nice when somebody listens to it and says, these guys are shit hot, if I'm allowed to say that. I just have.
It's fine.
We'll put the more of the Black Sabbath influence in the next record, I think. We'll take it.
Next one's called Polarized.
The next is going to be a bit darker, yeah.
I mean, it's just little subtle things with this time, and although it's an incredibly small part of the whole album, there's four bars of a drum loop which we've never gone, you know, in the band, the lineup that recorded Western, we probably wouldn't have been allowed to do that. This time round, we're slowly pushing the envelope. Next time round, who knows? We'll let Murdo loose with his ragga generator that he's got.
Yeah.
Get some ragga generator.
The pocket. One of the things we've talked about quite a lot in the band, various different lineups, is about Wilco. And Wilco started being a fairly generic country rock band, almost falling straight on from Tupelo. And every album they brought out did something different. They did Summer Teeth was pretty pop. Being There was kind of Exile and Main Street. Then they kind of went a bit experimental. I wouldn't say we want to copy Wilco, but there's a lot to admire in their spirit that they would do a song like Kids Smoke that's 15 minutes of, you know, kind of almost kraut rock. I'm not suggesting that's the direction we go in, but that's brave. You know, that's incredibly brave for a band who were
giving me carte blanche to write 15-minute songs.
I mean, they were a country rock band. People still think of Wilco as one of the leaders of the old country movement, but Nels Klein's a jazz guitar player, pretty much, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. What I love about bands like Wilco is the fact that they're willing to, like, put their necks on the block, so to speak, and be experimental and use skronky, squelchy synthesizer noises and take an unusual approach to arranging songs. And that's not an easy thing to do with your first record, unless you're an art rock band, which Wintown Marshals clearly isn't. But that doesn't mean that there's not art rock in what we do and in what people listen to. And so I think progressively, as you get on, as you grow as players, as you grow as a band together, it becomes easier to incorporate that kind of stuff in without losing sight of what brought you together in the first place.
But I think also, I mean, you've got to make the record that you want to make as a band. If you want people to take, you know, treat you honestly with a review, you've got to make a record that's honest to what you want to make. You can't say, I'm going to make a repeat of Westerner or Country Rock by Numbers. You've got to kind of say, this is what we've been about, this is my record. And if we do it in such a good way, you're going to enjoy it too. Mm. But it's got to be, you know, what you hear.
Now, you did mention the evolving sound, and I know you don't even have this record out yet, but is that something with this lineup you are thinking to the future? You are thinking about other records or a direction that you
might
go in?
Well, having a permanent keyboard player in the band has already kind of altered the dynamic of arranging songs to play live. It's very different. It was something that I've never been in a band with a keyboard player before. Don't know about the other guys, but it was something that was kind of, it was very much a challenge when it became apparent that the songs were benefiting more from having keyboards, organ and piano than they were from having another lead guitar on them. Then it was like, okay, we'll go for this and see how it works out, and it's worked out really well. And I think, for me anyway, personally, it's just all I can see ahead is sort of an improved band, because it's taken us in directions that we wouldn't have been able to go in before.
And Kenny, to Kenny's credit, I mean, if you listen back to the tracks, all of the songs that Kenny's played drums, or all the songs that have got drums, there's 9 tracks of drums on there, and Kenny was basically given a Monday night of rehearsal in this room playing those 3 songs. We recorded in 3 song chunks, so I can't remember, was it Low Country Come Down and something else we recorded the first 3 nights. We gave Kenny a Monday night rehearsal in here, taught him the arrangements of the songs. He went in the following Monday or Sunday, whatever it was, recorded those drums, first or second take, and then came back in the next Monday and learnt another 3. We're just throwing songs at him. This time then, Richie's not even on the last, you know, on the last, the new record. So I mean, Kenny's got a personality to stamp on the songs. Richie's got a personality stamp on the songs. So,
I haven't.
Yeah. No. None of them have got personalities beyond those two.
The thing is, though,
I mean, it's for me as a drummer, you know, it's all very well playing drums, but if you don't have a decent song to play drums to, it's not going to sound any good. The fact of the matter is, I had decent songs to perform in, you know, and that brought the best out in me. And
I think there are about 6 or so songs, 6 or maybe 7 songs left over from the long haul sessions that we never really quite got to that next stage yet. So I've got tons of ideas sitting around from that block of writing for that record, but there are certainly some of those that I would like to see the light of day eventually, and then it'll be a case of us doing writing on our own together or whatever. To But that's me.
Can I just say, entirely digging your New Balance 1970s trainers?
Thanks very much.
But also, Keith's understanding we're going to take a period of paternity leave, so I'm looking forward to what kind of experimental jams we managed to concoct while he's changing nappies.
Some great ideas.
I quit.
I look forward to that.
But I mean, the keyboard has been it's really exciting as well, and going back to visit some of the older songs, because I mean, certainly for Keith, he's been playing some of those songs since 2007. I joined the band at the very start of 2008, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though with some of the stuff from the LEP and the Ballad of Jane cover, the Ballad of Jane thing's probably the first thing we all did, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Collectively. And even going back to those songs now, they were changing the arrangements because Richie's got some keyboard parts that were never there on the original. It's definitely a good thing.
The thing about the keyboards is it's allowed us to, like Ian says, revisit stuff that possibly we'd got a bit bored of, or that we were, if not bored, kind of not looking at as a possibility, a realistic possibility for playing live. And having the keyboards just means you can try the songs and approach them in a different way and find out that, you know, you still really love them and you still really love playing them.
And is playing live as a band, is that for you where you really love the music, and recording can be sometimes not so pleasant? But
I love recording.
Yeah. I really, really do. I as much as playing live. Yeah, I mean, I think often you hear people say, oh, it's all about playing live, the buzz and feeding off the audience and all that kind of stuff, and I agree with that. But similarly, I really, really like that whole kind of bringing a recording together, starting from a drum recording or playing certain parts in the room together, and it's a brilliant process.
They're two different disciplines, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a creativity that comes from recording an album. Basically, if you think that Keith or Murdo bring a song and play an acoustic guitar and sing some words at you, you've got a completely blank canvas to fill in. And in the recording this time round, we didn't have a huge amount of arrangements thought out, really, in that respect, because Kenny was brand new in the band. Kenny went from audition to be recording studio with him.
I think we made a brief decision just to crack on, because we knew the songs were good. Mm. We didn't have a fixed idea of how it was going to end up sounding. The only
rehearsals that seemed to go on, and they're trying different arrangements out and training, and eventually we had to stop and say, we need to start this now, because we could keep going on and on for months and months and months, saying we could try this, we could try that, and then take it to the recording. Somebody suspicious, they're right, bash it down and then add on it, and then if it's good, then that's it done, and you can put it to bed. You know?
It put pressure on for recording. It was hard work, because you got to be completely focused on your creativity, and ensuring that your creativity isn't just like wandering about the room like hitting tambourines and bongos, when you should be actually really focusing on specific things. So it was good. It was well disciplined, and it was hard work.
See, I'm the other way around. I hate playing live. I get terrified of playing live. I'd rather be in the studio.
Yeah,
I can fix my mistakes. So. I hide in the corner scrambling, turn the keyboard volume down.
There's something special in both for me. I mean, for all actually, the being on stage thing is fantastic, but there is the whole, and it takes you an hour to pack your stuff, 2 hours to drive to wherever you're going. And if you're playing support to somebody, it's 3 hours of sitting around watching someone hit a snare drum endlessly. And then, you know, by the time you get on stage, you're actually just relieved to get on stage. But
we're very grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, we're grateful for the opportunity. But yeah, it's a different thing. Two different things, but playing live's good.
And now we have a This Is The Show exclusive playing live for us now, our stripped down version of the Wintown Marshals, and this is Curtain Call. Thank you very much for joining us today.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Here I sit in this stingy room, alone with needle, tourniquet and spoon. Just me in bed and the poppy haze. Here I stay until they take me to the grave. It hasn't always been the same. The audience used to call my name. You should have seen me in my finery. Let me tell you how it used to be. At the curtain call, show time again. Now I'll take to the stage with my cape and my cane. At the curtain call, show time again. Well, I must have seen and done it all. Played to sell out crowds at the Egyptian Hall. Held the court with high society. Thought this was how they would remember me. I knew every trick in the book. Shared a bill with Mescaline and Cook. Every night I'd act out thrilling scenes. But your face, it still haunts my dreams. At the curtain call, showtime again. Now I'll take to the stage with my cape and my cane. At the curtain call, showtime again. Now it's over, it's over, it's over now. I don't know how it all went wrong. We performed the bullet trick for oh so long. Keller told Houdini it was cursed. Should have listened to their cautionary words. The palm that ditched the steel went down. My sleight of hand techniques I thought were sound. The loading simulation seemed to go okay. But the misdirection and the switch took you away. At the curtain call, showtime again. Now I'll take to the stage with my cape and my cane. At the curtain call, showtime again. Here's my curtain call. Showtime again. Never thought I'd pick up this revolver again. Maybe soon I can be with you again. And now it's over, it's over, it's over now. It's over, it's over. it's over now.
This is the show.